Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter.
Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton. Together, we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, both big and small.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Emily. And today we're actually going to talk about Waste Reduction Week in Canada. So we'll jump right into it. And Biz, do you want to just explain a little bit about what it is?
So I thought that this was the first time of me hearing it. But then when we were trying to do Instagram Live, by the way, we're doing Instagram Live right now, which is a total experiment for us. And if you're listening right now in real time on Instagram Live, Waste Reduction Week is happening right now. If you're listening to the podcast, right, it happened last week.
Yeah, because this podcast will come out on like this weekend. So, yeah. Right?
Ish? Yeah, on Sunday. On the very last day of Waste Reduction Week.
Yeah, because Waste Reduction Week started, well, on the 18th yesterday, and then it goes until the 24th. Okay, so had you heard of Waste Reduction Week before?
So I had just said in one of our previous attempts at doing this live that I had never heard of it before. And then one of our followers reminded me that I did a Waste Craft Week with her 10 years ago-ish, where I made a ball gown out of plastic bags.
Okay.
It was amazing.
That's very cool.
I was
cool.
Very proud of it. It was like Cinderella-ish, except it said President's Choice on it.
That's very cool. I thought that someone was going to be like, don't you know it's Waste Reduction Week? Don't you have like a podcast about that? And you'd be like, oh, I feel like that's what would happen in my world.
Yeah, I think it just got lost in the sea of days and weeks for everything.
Yeah, in my mind.
Like, I just, there's very few that actually, that I would remember again next year at the same time, because there's just everything has a day or a week or a month. So,
yeah, but this one is a particularly interesting week, and I think it's kind of cool. I like the idea. So what they've done is they've basically taken like a day of every day this week kind of has a different focus or topic.
Yeah, so they've split it up into seven themes.
Yeah, because honestly, waste reduction, I feel like waste reduction and this whole idea of waste reduction is like such a giant such a giant topic, and like there's so many different components of it that I think that breaking it down like this is really interesting and maybe like a little bit more palatable to talk about. So
also it really emphasizes how diverse the problem can, like how many angles there are to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It being Tuesday today as we're recording, we've already missed Monday, which was day one. So that was yesterday, which was focused on the circular economy. And if you listen to our last episode, the Tool Library, that's a very good example of a way of reducing waste using a circular economy.
Mm-hmm. And like maybe do you want to just explain what a circular economy is in case someone hasn't caught that before?
Well, let's talk about how most things set up right now are linear. So resource extraction,
hence
production,
why we have a waste problem.
Manufacturing, retail, purchasing, garbage.
Dump.
Yeah. So like that's very linear. It just goes in a line, gets to the dump, stops.
Yeah. Start and finish.
So a circular economy tries to put as many loops in that system as possible, if not a complete circle, hence circular economy.
So like the true definition of a circular economy basically is that like everything that is a part of the economy will be in the economy in perpetuity, right?
Yes.
So basically materials
that
can be.
The ideal scenario, of course,
which is
it doesn't
like
always work that way.
Very difficult. Yeah, very difficult to attain, obviously, in the in the real world.
So an example of that would be like a garden. So you plant a seed, you grow a plant, you pick the food, you eat the food, and then the leftovers from the plant become compost to feed the seed the next year, right?
Right. I was going to say, I'm like, then you poop in your garden. I'm like, you shouldn't do that. That's really bad.
No, the plant becomes feed. Don't poop in your garden.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. So, you know, even technically in that, it's not a circular economy. Technically, because your waste is going somewhere else, obviously. Well, but yeah, hey, that's the idea, right?
Compost school has a composting toilet.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend using waste. I mean, I'm sure in some senses it can be safe, but I don't think anyone would
like
recommend
we said earlier,
that to you because if you
don't
get
poop
sick,
in your garden, but there are ways to do it. Yeah, it's just very not widely done. It's just not a thing. Anyway,
yeah, no one's going to recommend you to do it because they don't want to get sued.
Plant to grow, goes back. Anyway, whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
Because
you don't like my example of a what's your example?
Well,
of a circular system?
I was going to use an example of like if you have something that's completely recyclable, so
like
or
glass?
Like even a yeah exactly. So
glass is like the only material I can think of that's perpetually like you can melt it down and make the same thing
aluminum.
Over. Oh,
yeah,
aluminum.
Oh, like a lot of metals.
Yeah.
A lot of metals are.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of metals are. Like the actual, if we had the resources and the technology actually to like break those down and
it's not even the technology, it's just so energy intensive.
Yeah. Well, it's not efficient, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's an
and
input.
Then of course, energy ends up using some sort of resource to make the energy to do that. Right.
Right.
So, anyway,
so
the idea of the circular economy is to try to put as many loops in there as possible, mm-hmm. if not a complete circle. But mm-hmm. creating that perfect balanced circle is very, very difficult. So
yeah, but also very, very interesting. So if you have listened to the podcast before, you might have heard us talk about like Loop, which is a reusable containers grocery, and
which is in Ontario,
like,
but is not
which
in
is
Alberta
in Ontario,
yet.
Yes. But they're focused on like this idea of the circular economy.
And again,
hear that term a lot. Okay, so moving on to today, which was textiles.
Textile Tuesday. So textiles are a huge contributor to the waste stream. Fast fashion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, it doesn't just stop there. Lots of things are made of textiles, like furniture and carpet and the thing that comes to mind would be clothing, obviously, so that's where we tend to encourage like buy good quality versus quantity and repair
by natural fibers. Yeah.
And natural fibers that will break down at the end of their life cycle instead of getting microplastics in the water stream through your laundry. And then
Wednesday
is e-waste,
which is this is so interesting to me, particularly because my understanding of e-waste is that e-waste is actually really, really valuable. And like, you know, when you take your phone in and they'll like buy it back. I'm saying this with air quotes, they'll buy it back from you and like give you a price for it or give you a discount off of a new phone. I think that's so interesting because I think that the electronics market, like this is kind of the idea of, I'll call it like one kind of version of a circular economy, although most components I would say are like, yeah, most parts of your electronics aren't recyclable because a lot of them are actually like plastic or things like that. But the gold and the precious metals in your electronics are very valuable and are usually like worth a lot more than that like $30 that they're going to give you off of your new device or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is really interesting. And I think it's, you know, like there some people or like I've heard stories or read stories about like landfills getting mined for e-waste. And yeah, I just think that this idea of e-waste and its relation to our current society and like how we are and how quickly technology is changing is so interesting and so vital, right? Like we want to be able to have technology that we can recycle and create into new technology because we all know that our technology advances so fast that our devices can't keep up to it.
I question that.
Yeah. Well, I know that you like, I mean, then there's also the, yeah,
I'm
the...
fairly like the whole designed obsolescence is,
yeah,
is a real thing. And they try to get you to buy new stuff sooner than you would technically need to. Have you not noticed that the only thing that seems to be upgrading on phones these days is the camera? Like,
yeah, I mean, okay, so I think of that, like, in, I think of, you know, things about, like, a long period of time, I guess maybe, like, a longer period of time. Like, I think technology is advancing, like, you know, in 2 to 5 years, yeah, we can still use those devices and they're not used up. But I will say that, like, the technology itself is advancing. I totally agree that getting a new cell phone every year, like, yeah, that's probably not necessarily, like, the lifespan of a laptop being 2 years, like, that's pretty pathetic, really. Like, I don't think that that is actually the true, yeah, I think that there's planned obsolescence in there for sure. But I think that it's important that we keep in mind, as, like, technology is going to keep on advancing and getting, you know, faster and faster and doing more and more different things.
What phone do you have, Emily? How old is your phone?
Oh, I have an LG. Oh, I was like looking around for my phone, but obviously it's right here. Yeah, no, I have a LG Velvet, which is, I don't know, a year old. I did have a phone that wasn't functioning anymore, and so I had to upgrade. But I don't know. I don't know how old my phone is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I have a Samsung S9 that I got used 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So I bought mine on Kijiji.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I try to, like, I get, like, the model behind so that I kind of keep up, but I'm not going out and buying a new thing because everyone else is rejecting theirs, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Widely sustainable practice, but it helps for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just interested in the fact that, like, technology is going to advance. And so how are we designing our devices so that they can be successfully put into a circle economy? I think that that idea is really interesting, personally.
Yeah. If only you could actually recycle and recreate the outside of the phone so that it can also be reused.
Right.
But
yeah, exactly. Instead of just like a minuscule component of your
electronics. Let's go back to Tuesday. Let's go back to Textile Tuesday because we talked about e-waste and our how we use it, I guess, or contribute to it or try not to. What about textiles? Yeah. How do you try to reduce your textile waste?
To be honest, I don't really buy cheap clothes anymore. I would say that that's probably like my biggest thing is I try to buy clothes that are, I would say, pretty neutral and that are going to last me a really long time. So, for example, actually, I just bought, I mean, this is not, are shoes textiles?
Yes.
Kind of, right? Yes. Okay, so yeah, like I worked in an office for years and then COVID happened. And so I haven't had to wear any of, like, I haven't worn dress clothes in a really long time. But I did have a couple of pairs of dress shoes that were kind of on the end of their life as COVID came in and were like pretty beat up and stuff. So I ended up like, okay, this year I know that I'm going to need like good quality footwear and like office and business casual footwear. So I invested in, like, I have one pair of flats and I have one pair of boots, and those are like my business formal shoes that I'm gonna wear every day basically for the rest of forever as long as I'm a working individual. So
there you go.
Yeah, like I make the conscious choice. Like I do a lot of research and I like pick items that I know. I always make the joke that like I'm gonna be buried in this, like oh, I'm gonna be buried in these shoes, because like I genuinely, that's how I buy things now. I don't buy things to like, oh, I have an event on Friday that like I need to look cute for. Like I don't
dress
buy things
library
like that anymore. yeah And what Biz is referring to is our good friend who has a business where you can rent dresses, and it's super awesome. But yeah, so I definitely look at, particularly with like my purchasing of items, is that I don't buy things that are one time use or even like 10 time use. I buy things that I know that I'm going to wear once a week for the rest of my life.
I do the capsule wardrobe thing. So like my work clothes are just like basically all the same thing, and I cycle through them and
until like something gets worn out and then
until they die. But I mean, I also like, because I'm a sewer, I get scraps and like rescue materials from other things to make things out of, rather than like go shopping for new fabric all the time.
And I feel like that's one thing, is that particularly since I started, you know, not buying as many clothes, I have a really hard time letting clothes go, which is sometimes a problem when you have like a really ratty t-shirt that has like a hole in it, but you're like, oh, but if I tuck it in my pants a certain way, like no one can see the hole. And then you're like, Emily, you probably, like, this shirt is falling apart from the seams, literally. Like, it might be time to take it to a textile recycling. And like, that's okay, because you wore the living daylights out of this poor shirt.
Okay. Thursday.
Okay. Thursday.
Thursday.
Big day Thursday.
Plastics.
Yeah. Plastics. Big day. Big plastics. Day in waste reduction week. Yeah.
So basically I would say we could
talk about this forever.
Yeah. I know, right? Thursday, plastics. Plastic is everywhere, and it's so cheap that people don't value it.
I want to reframe this, because you know what? I will say this, when I started my zero waste journey or whatever, or even when I went into Master Composter Recycler training in Edmonton, I remember being like, I hate plastic. Plastic is the worst. Like I kind of had this vendetta on plastic, and I guess I've kind of come to realize maybe that I don't necessarily dislike plastic. I dislike single use plastics, which I think are very different, because I, for example, the water bottle that I'm drinking out of is plastic, and I am glad that it's plastic, because let me tell you, I've broken a lot of glass water bottles. but
yeah, my bottles are all metal, because I would destroy them.
And see, I would dent them. I would dent, the metal bottles. But anyways, also plastic is really light. Like, I think now I've kind of come to respect plastic in a different way. I just wish that we dealt with it appropriately and like didn't use single-use plastics and actually had ways of recycling plastic, because I think that plastic could be it's one of those materials that we could have, you know, essentially if we had a monotonous plastic or a plastic that was made up of the same material, we could recycle that like pretty effectively if we knew what was in it.
Yeah, except that plastic needs different properties for different uses, right? Like, you wouldn't use the same type of plastic for a laptop as you would for a shopping bag. Not that we want shopping bags.
Yeah. But I mean, that's my point, right? Is that we've created plastics that don't have an end.
Yeah. Usually when they're recycled, they're reduced in quality, and then they only get reused once or twice before they're unrecyclable anyway.
Right. And that's even for like plastics that we know what kind of plastic it is.
Yeah.
because that's also not something that is required of producers of plastic materials to disclose information on. So, yeah, I don't know. I struggle with plastics. I do dislike single-use plastics, and I think, obviously, they're the worst. But it's not necessarily the plastic material itself. It's how we deal with it.
Right. But I do feel like, because it's so cheap, we tend to not give it value beyond the like few cents that it's worth.
Money. Yeah.
Right? Like, if you have to pay $20 for something versus 5 cents for something, you're going to take better care of it. It's just
generally. Yeah. Generally. For sure.
But
yeah. The cheapness of the material.
Which is
right?
What makes it a great material, we've abused that.
I think you've also said this at some point. Like, I feel like you've mentioned this is like, it's not about the material is my point. It's like about what we've done with it.
Yeah, and we abuse it.
We're human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Friday. Friday is about food waste.
Yeah, which I feel like is my new favorite type of waste. Not that I like love food waste and I want to make more of it. But yeah, I'm just finding food waste super interesting right now for whatever reason. And I think maybe it's because I'm hopefully going
to have
a garden.
Is it because you get to be part of the CART program?
You know what? I am really digging the CART program. I'm not going to lie.
I do have to say, like, because yeah. I don't participate in the CART program, and I didn't, mm-hmm. obviously, we didn't have that before, but what I do is I take my food scraps and bring them to a friend who does participate in the CART program.
Right.
And it makes me so happy that I can put my meat products in there.
Yeah, that's been a huge, like a huge shift for us because we do eat meat and you can put, yeah, your bones, just so much more and like any food leftovers. So before, you know, for example, I was like eating lunch with a kid the other day and they like ate part of a piece of pizza and like didn't want any more. And so I'm like, oh, that can go in my food scraps bin. Whereas before, because it was like pizza that was bread and cheese and meat and
you can't
like
feed that to your worms.
Yeah. So that is like pretty exciting. But yeah, so food waste is quickly becoming my favorite type of waste, if you want to call it that, you know.
Well, I mean, it's the easiest to actually do something constructive with.
Yeah. Like I'm like excited about food waste.
I mean, like, not that it gives you an excuse.
Not that I just like throw stuff in the garbage or throw stuff in my food scraps bin. I'm like, ooh, today I'm just going to clean out my fridge and throw everything away. No, like I don't do that, but it is nice to know that waste can be used for like something productive.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. So Saturday of Waste Reduction Week is the sharing economy.
Oh, I totally gave the wrong example. Sharing economy, that is the tool library.
Okay.
That is the dress library.
Yes. Which are basically places where you can just like rent things for a short period of time. Like think about like the movie, like Blockbuster. Like that's something that everyone can relate to, right?
Everyone older than us.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some youngins listening to this podcast, but
the young people
like,
out
I mean,
there
that's
who
a great
are like,
example
what the heck
the
is Blockbuster?
Economy.
Oh my goodness. That reminds me, I saw a floppy disk today.
What? I wouldn't even, like, where? How? Did you go to, like, the,
no, somebody had it for the, that's what
museum?
They had their embroidery designs on.
Okay.
For embroidering stuff on their sewing machines. I'm like.
On a floppy disk?
On a floppy disk.
Okay.
I'm like, how do you still have floppy disks?
How old was this person?
I never actually saw the person themselves.
Oh.
So I don't know. But probably.
Okay. I'm like, I have never. And like, I would say
Blockbuster
that I'm
days were the good days, says Eco-Arius.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you, Emma, for
that. Okay. There we go. Someone else knows what Blockbuster is. We're not the oldest people here.
Yeah. I have never in my entire life actually owned a floppy disk. And I'm almost 30. So, like, you know.
Okay, I got 5 years on you. I definitely remember floppy disks.
Did you own one, though, like personally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used them.
Like, what, your first floppy disk? What was it?
I'm pretty sure I used the floppy disk to load Mother Goose Game on a computer when I was little. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, anyways, enough about that.
This is going back to e-waste, man. Okay. Sharing economy Saturday.
Yeah. But yeah, sharing economy is so great. Like, why not? Oh my goodness, I'm so into this for, like, the idea of a sharing economy I think is cool in, like, those formal ideas, like the library or the tool library or the dress library, like these library ideas. But I think that it's also really, really cool in, like, an informal setting of just, like, sharing things amongst people. Like, I think that that's really cool, right? To be able to share. Yeah, like just share amongst your friends and family.
Do like clothing swaps and...
Yeah, or even just like...
Or if you need to borrow my dehydrator at some point during the year.
Yeah, right. Like I'm very into that because
how often in a year do you use a dehydrator? We don't all need our own dehydrators. There's probably plenty out there to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to Sunday. So this is coming up this weekend, is swap and repair. And Biz, I know that this is something that you're super passionate about.
Repair is my favorite. See, Food Friday is your favorite, and Repair Sunday is my favorite. I repair textile things for people as like a side commission jobby. And then my main full-time job is repairing sewing machines, and repairing is my life. I also love visible mending, which I do on my own clothes. I find that it like tells a story about the clothing as you wear it. It's great. Repair. And it makes me really sad that things are like literally not repair. Like they're designed not to be repairable.
Want me to tell you one of my latest endeavors on repairing something?
Yes.
Okay, so I've had a pair of hiking boots since 2018 or 2019 that I basically used as work boots one summer. And I do a lot of hiking, so these boots have gotten a lot of wear. And every time I wear them, I like flip flop between the fact that I'm like, these boots are falling apart and my feet are wet, to like, no, I can totally, they're fine. They're totally fine. So last year in September, I went on a hike with my sister, and it was like a 3-day hike, and my feet were wet essentially the entire time, because the seal, like the legitimate seal on my boots had like cracked basically, right? And was gaping. And so then earlier this year, so I kind of had that hiking experience and I was like, oh, bummer, like might be time to get new boots. But you know, then I like wasn't wearing my boots for 2 days, and then I'm like, oh no, like I can totally fix these. I took them to a cobbler, glued them together, and I went on one hike and they immediately began to fall apart again.
Oh no.
Yeah, no. But then get this, because then once again, as soon I'm like, I, you know, went on the hike and I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer, but like, whatever. I'm sure that I can limp some life left over them. And then, I went on one hike. And then this fall, I kind of did a similar like multi-day trek in the fall in the mountains. So like with the possibility of snow, and was like, I'm going to wear these hiking boots again. Like, I've got it. They're great. And so me being what I thought was super resourceful, even though like the cobbler glue, so like someone who's a professional who has glue that is meant to glue shoes together, I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll just use Gorilla Glue and like glue the crap out of them, just to like, you know, this is going to get me through like what, another like 50K? Like, come on, no big deal.
Okay.
Needless to say, it didn't work. So
like that is not the right glue. Shoe goo.
Yeah, I think
you need to know about shoe goo.
To be completely honest,
you bought new boots.
Yeah, I threw the boots away at the end because get this. So we're hiking and like literally, okay, so it's a 50K 3-day trek, like, or 3-night, 4-day trek. And the first 2 hours, first of all, people were making fun of me because my Gorilla Glue looked ridiculous on my boots, but like whatever, we're hiking, who cares? But then within 2 hours, the Gorilla Glue had like split and cracked and was totally useless or whatever. And my feet stayed dry because I was like quite particular about where I was stepping for like the next 2 days. But my boots, from getting wet and having that seal kind of, I don't know, and my feet being in them and like hiking, I don't know, you're sweaty and gross. My boots smelled like swamp, like a swamp creature's boots. If it would have been up to me, I probably would have glued them again at the end of the trek.
It wasn't up to you?
But no. I was politely asked by my partner to
get those smelly small boots out of here.
Boots. Yeah. So, you know, they had a good life though. Like, they had a great life.
They had a little longer life than they probably should have, and that's okay. Good job. Yeah, proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so
that is a good point that we're seeing in the comments here, that quite often repairing something, if it's possible, often costs just as much as a new one.
Which is a total bummer. For example, with the boots, I think I spent like $50 at the cobbler to get them redone. Yeah. I mean, hiking boots are a little bit more pricey than that.
I got the inside heel of my hiking shoes repaired with like a leather patch. I think it was like $30. Like, it wasn't that much.
Yeah, so it kind of depends.
And so they're still going strong, because that's the part that I tend to wear out in shoes first, is the inside heel. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways,
very excited that
if you got any good cobbler recommendations, send them my way. That would be great. But
I took mine to fast shoe repair. It was all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They've been on the podcast.
You know, that's where I took mine to glue. To be honest, I think mine were a little bit far gone. Like, I don't know if there was much repairability. Yeah,
they do. If you follow Fast Shoe Repair's Instagram, they do tend to say, like, the sooner you get it in, the more easily we can actually fix the problem and prevent it from getting to the point where it's not fixable. So, you know, that is with anything. Try to keep on top of the maintenance rather than, like, trying to work backwards from a piece of room, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah, my shoes, they gave me a lot of life. They were good. It's time for some new ones. Like, that's okay. Excellent. We can do that.
All right.
Okay, and that's the week.
That's the week. So we got circular economy, textiles, e-waste, plastic, food, sharing economy, and repair.
And swap and repair. So that is a full week, but so interesting. Like, if you were interested in like one particular thing and you wanted to learn a little bit more about that, like, this would be a great way to kind of dive in and learn more about a bunch of waste reduction stuff in Canada. And this Waste Reduction Week has been going on for 20 years, which is pretty cool. So
20 years.
Right?
Yeah.
20 years. Okay. Are we going to get into wine, cheese, and dessert now?
We are. You get to go first.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, my wine is... So I'm back in school right now. I'm taking my after education degree. And so what that means is actually I'm going to be back in high school, which sounds very bizarre. Yeah, which is as staggering as it sounds. But going back to school, and particularly like primary and, like K-12 education, I was like flabbergasted just by how much stuff schools go through, like how much paper, and like, I don't know, I kind of lived in this little bubble of like, okay, yeah, my office creates a lot of paper, but you know, I don't create any paper waste, or like, I don't create any like lunch waste, or I don't know. And I think as adults too, we just like do things a little bit differently, but yeah, schools have a lot of paper and worksheets, and yeah, it was just interesting to go back and like see just the volume, I guess, kind of, again, that's something that I kind of have to get used to. But my dessert on the other side of things is that, I mean, everything's kind of like, I do find it cool and I'm getting better at this, particularly COVID really pushed me into this, is going much more paperless. And I think that that's kind of just like a general trend. Whereas like I used to use paper all the time, like 3 years ago, probably, I used to have like a paper notebook. I had a paper agenda. I like wrote my notes on paper. I did all of this. And now I'm definitely transitioning away from that. And I find that technology is also like getting a lot better, so that you can do that a lot easier.
I do like writing notes on paper, but paper, like, I don't go buy a notepad. I just have like torn up pieces of used paper that I keep in a pile.
Yeah. Well, and even now, like, that there's technology where you can write like on, you know, a tablet or a screen or things like that. So you can write and like use the same functions as you would on paper, which is super interesting to me. Like, I find that really neat because, yeah, particularly even with studying, like, I feel like I remember and comprehend things a lot better when I write them down, like when I say them and when I write them down and when I like do them. And yeah, now you have the technology available that like works well, which is kind of cool.
I have to say, I really like my Kobo
Oh, yeah, like your e-reader. Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is, too, is that, like, I remember when I first went to university, I would, like, carry around, like, 2-3 binders, and, like, I would have so much, like, stuff with me, and now I'm, like, now I just carry my laptop around, and, like, I don't know, I'm, like, sleek and futuristic.
Yeah, and it's too bad you can't really get away with textbooks that way.
Yeah, you can. Oh, my goodness, so many textbooks are digital.
Yeah, but, I don't know, I've heard that it's not. Maybe they're getting better. Maybe
it depends on the textbook, for sure. But as someone who had to do a lot of reading this semester, all of my stuff was online, and even like highlighting and like making notes in margins and things like that, that like you couldn't do.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways.
I bet you could like scribble all over it even better.
Yeah.
Because you're not ruining it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of advantages, and that's kind of my dessert. And it's cool to see. Yeah. It's cool to see the transition. And my cheese, I'm not feeling very particularly cheesy today, but I'm never good at these jokes anyways. Okay, Biz, you do your wine and dessert, and then I'll come up with a cheese.
Okay, you let me know when you're ready with your cheese there.
Okay.
So my wine, which I think is very appropriate for tonight, okay, is that I'm only in my 30s, and I'm already feeling like I'm so out of touch with technology.
It happens so fast. Like, yeah, you should see high school kids that are like 3D printing in their sleep.
Yeah.
You're like, what? It's amazing.
I would say the technological issues. I mean, today I had technological issues with trying to get Instagram Live to work this evening. And
yeah, you'd think that that would have been really easy.
And I just,
and you'd think that we would be good at it because we grew up with technology, but
I have tried to get into TikTok and I just can't. I'm just like, what even is this? And the thing is, like, the fact that we are just doing Instagram Live now, after we've been doing this podcast for a year and a half, when I'm pretty sure Instagram Live was a thing the entire time.
It definitely has,
like,
been, yeah.
What are reels?
Oh, there's so much work. That's what they are. That's what they are.
Like, oh my goodness.
So
yeah.
Much work.
So my wine is that I feel like
you're out of touch.
I'm out of touch with technology.
You should go to a high school and you will be in touch with
it. That sounds frightening. That sounds just scary.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
My dessert is that I am repairing a quilt for somebody. When they handed me this quilt, it was in tatters, like holes. Mm. And
you can repair that? Like,
yeah. So
that blows my mind.
The quilts have the top and the batting and the bottom. And and then they're like sewn, those three layers are sewn together. So you have to pick that apart so you have three layers again. And then I'm taking good parts of the back and good parts of the front and making a new front and then putting a new back on it.
Oh my gosh.
And it just kind of fills me with joy that somebody like they just love this thing so much that they want as much of the original piece as possible and to keep it going. I'm like, that just makes me happy.
I am just so glad that there are people in the world that I can pay like you to do that so that I don't have to. Because that sounds like a nightmare to me, to be completely honest.
And then my cheese has nothing to do with what we're talking about because I don't know. So
yeah, bring it out.
What has more lives than a cat?
I don't know.
A frog, because it croaks every night.
Ooh, okay. I like that. That's clever. Okay, ready for my cheese also has nothing to do with anything. But I like this one. Okay, so what did the policeman say to his belly button?
What?
You're under a vest.
Ah, ha-ha.
Yeah. I feel like the high schoolers are going to really appreciate this. Maybe I should bring some of these jokes to my high school class.
Do
if I want to get eaten alive. Yeah. Just kidding.
I was going to say, like, if you want to be the cool teaching assistant person.
I don't think there's anything cool about cheesy jokes in high school. No, I don't think so. Absolutely not.
Anyway, that is that.
Yeah. Thank you guys all so much for listening, and to our people who are watching on Instagram Live.
The people who are listening live is probably...
Yes.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. If you guys have any feedback for us, we would love to hear that. And so you can always send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Instagram at becominglesspod, which you already know if you are watching us live. Or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect, listen, and to donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta.
Also, just a quick shout out to Change Toothpaste Tabs, who sponsors our podcast.
They were here earlier. I don't know if they're listening now, but if you are, hello.
Yeah, Change Toothpaste Tabs are amazing. Best toothpaste tabs I've ever tried, and I'm not just saying that. But yeah, they support us a lot, which is really incredible. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, we hope to have you guys back next time. Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching, I guess. And remember that every day we can be a little less than we were yesterday.
With a live studio audience.